Well, it's always a joy for me to share what God has done, is doing, and will do in my life. I haven't always been a pastor. In fact, how fitting that on this Easter Sunday, this day of death and resurrection, I get to tell you my story of being dead and resurrected in Jesus Christ. I grew up in a very normal home. Well, normal insofar as I thought. My parents divorced when my brother and I were very young. I was about 2 years old. My brother was six. And that was our normal. That's where we grew up. That's what we knew. That's how life was. And life was not so bad. My mother worked hard to provide for us. We were in and out of different homes. She was married a few times. And I never thought that it was difficult until I got older and I got to see other kids have a more normal childhood. And I can remember praying at that young age, I wonder if my parents could get back together, you know, and it was not to be. But we grew up in that environment, and it was tough. It had its challenges, but my mother, as I said, worked hard to care for us. And so I don't think that I had a very unprivileged childhood. I think that I was deeply privileged despite the obstacles that were going on early on in our lives. So my parents were divorced, and we lived between two homes a lot of time. We saw my dad every other weekend. We saw my mom all the other times. And as I got older, of course, I began to think, I wonder what life would be like if I did this or if I tried that. And I was a pretty good kid, well, mostly. You know, I use good kid in a very loose term. I wasn't the worst kid in the world, but I certainly wasn't the best. And I started having discipline issues probably around middle school, and I don't think that's uncommon. I think if you have a middle schooler, you probably say, yeah, we have discipline issues with our middle schooler. But mine began to be exceedingly rebellious. My mom would start telling me to do stuff, and I would just say, no, I'm not doing it. Or I remember one time I said, if you want it done, you can do it yourself. I didn't change from that. I was what I know now, I could not put my finger on then. I was dead in sin, for one, but I was becoming increasingly more hard-hearted towards most everybody. Well, when I got to about high school, that's when the temptations really began, and I'll never forget. One night, we had been out drinking with a few of my friends, and we got arrested, or we didn't get arrested, but we did get caught by the police, and they took us all to our houses, and of course, we all got yelled at and got put on restrictions and all the other things that go along with that. But I'll never forget the very next weekend, one of my friends saying, hey, I've got something that we can do, and we are guaranteed not to get caught. So what is this? And that's when I was introduced to drugs. I didn't think very much about it at the time. It was just marijuana. Marijuana's harmless, right? I mean, at least so I thought at that point. And so we started smoking marijuana pretty much on a regular basis, before school, after school, during school, before church, after church, sometimes sneaking away during church. And that just became a part of my life. My life takes a radical turn when I hit about 10th grade. When I was in 10th grade, I was very prone to being sick when I was in high school. I had chronic tonsillitis. As a matter of fact, I ended up having to have my tonsils out when I was a junior in high school. But I got sick one day, and I was dating a girl who said, man, I was given this stuff when I got sick that made me feel way better. And that's when I got my first introduction into prescription drugs. She gave me a painkiller because my throat legitimately hurt, and I'll tell you, I was never the same. It took once for me to taste that lifestyle and think, this is something I want to do. I love the way it made me feel, and so I chased those things for myself. My next 2 years of high school were a very dark period. I was constantly doing something to alter my state of mind. I would find it in medicine cabinets. Friends' moms would have surgery, and so we would rob her medicine stores. If I were to tell you some of the things that I had done, it would make a sailor blush. We had no qualms even coming across cancer patients who had meds for real pain and stealing them because my need was more important than theirs. Very similar to our esteemed senior pastor, I broke into houses. And I was very skilled at it. I prided myself on being able to get in and get out in less than 2 minutes. And I never touched jewelry. I never touched guns. I never touched money. We went straight to their medicine cabinet, and we ransacked it, and then we left. And I did that for a solid 18 months. That was my life. I didn't work. I didn't go to school. I got up, and from the very beginning of my day, that's what I was focused on, getting what I want. One day, and I'm not going to say by chance, I'm going to say in God's providence, I was in a lady's house, and she walked in. And there I am, standing in her house. She's staring at me, and I'm staring at her, and we're both looking at each other with that look on our face like, what are you doing here? I didn't know it at the time. I talked my way out of it, believe it or not. I mean, there are some really gullible people in the world, but I actually talked my way out of that experience. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was so-and-so's house. This is not so-and-so's house. We normally just let ourselves in, and she bought it. She bought it until about 2 hours later when she started realizing there were holes in the story, and then she did call the police. I had no idea that that was going to be the thing that God used to get a hold of me, because I went away from that, and 2 years passed before I ever heard back on that, which I eventually did. Eventually, I went to work one day. I worked at TGI Fridays waiting tables, and I walked into work, and there was a man sitting there with a suit, and I knew I was running late, and I said, two, and he looked at me and said, Brad Williams? And I said, yeah. And he said, you're under arrest. And, of course, I was scared. I was terrified, actually. And then they took me down to the station. They interrogated me, and I was charged with felony breaking and entering. Well, the funny thing was, not funny, but the peculiar thing is I didn't know the half of it. I didn't get in near as much trouble as I could have. As a matter of fact, I had a decent enough lawyer who got my charges really knocked down to a misdemeanor. And so I was on probation. And I'll never forget leaving the courthouse. My lawyer said, son, you're the luckiest kid I know. You better straighten up and fly right. Oh, yeah, I'm going to. This is it. My attention has been gotten. That's what I said. But it wasn't it. You see, I was in a cycle at this point. There was no just, hey, I'm just not going to be this way anymore. I was locked into something that I couldn't get out of. I was locked into it emotionally. I was locked into it mentally. And so I didn't quit. As a matter of fact, I got worse. We drove all over the United States looking for parties and fun. And in Ecclesiastes 2, if you read what Solomon says there, he says, I denied my eyes nothing that they saw. I gave myself to every pleasure. And beloved of God, that's how I lived. I gave myself to every pleasure. I was in and out of relationships with women. I lived with women. And I continued down this life of drug addiction. Well, if you've ever been in trouble, you know something in the back of your mind. It's never a matter of if you're going to finally get caught. It's a matter of when. When is it going to happen? When is the other shoe going to drop? I was in a man's apartment one night, and they convinced me that just taking pills orally is not the way to go. You should try doing one with a hypodermic needle. So I did. Only thing I can tell you is the first time I did it, it should have been the last, because I let this girl, this woman who I did not know, stick a needle into my arm, and I woke up about 15 minutes later on the floor in sweats, a little cut on the back of my head. I'd passed out. And the only thing I can tell you from that night that I do remember is a stranger standing over me with eyes as big as saucers saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And I couldn't get the words out. I was going, I couldn't talk. I could barely breathe. And that should have been the end of it. But when you're dead in sin, those types of things, you just look at yourself and like, man, I must be bulletproof. I just lived through that. I wonder what else I could do and live through. And so I continued, and I continued. It was August. I had been up for about 3 days straight, no sleep. I had driven back and forth. Dothan is about, which is the town that I grew up in, Dothan is about 3 hours from a city called Mobile. I had driven back and forth to Mobile. I had a connection there. And I had been up for about 3 days. And I'd gone home because I needed to sleep. And when I went home, I realized that I want to party a little bit more. So I walked into the kitchen, found my mom's purse, snagged her keys, and went out to party. And while I was out, I was looking at a bunch of people in the back seat. I mean, driving like this, talking. And the next thing I know, my head hits the steering wheel because we rear-ended a tractor trailer. This is where I tell you that I really do believe that God does have a sense of humor, because there was a black and white police car right there. He saw the whole thing happen. He saw me rear-end this trailer, and he came over there. At first, he asked if we were okay, and I said, yeah, I think we're fine. He said, you've been drinking? And I said, no, and I hadn't been. It was one of the few times I'd actually told the truth. No, sir, I hadn't been drinking at all. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm standing here talking to you right now. And that got me in trouble, because he said, okay, smart aleck. I mean, what are you on? What drugs have you taken? I said, none. He said, you're lying to me. And he gave me a field sobriety test, and I passed it. But he stuck with his gut, and he said, we're taking you downtown. I want to tell y'all something very briefly about a conversation that led up into this night. 1 week prior to this, I looked at my friend. I'm not a crier. I don't cry. Rachel will tell you that. I looked at one of my friends with tears in my eyes, and I said, Kevin, I'm tired. I'm so tired, and I'm afraid because I'm beat, and I'm never going to get out of this life. You and I are caught in this endless cycle of addiction. We are never going to get out of it. This is our life, and I guess it's going to kill me. And I cried, and he cried, and it was depressing. We'd been up for 2 days, and you see, I was beginning to see things for what they were. I would look at myself in the mirror, and I wasn't this young, spry 16-year-old anymore. I was basically a grown man, and I was gaunt, and I had scars. I had bruises. I looked nasty. My arms had sores on them. I was gross. And the scales were beginning to fall off, and I was beginning to see something with absolute clarity. And I remember the day just like it was yesterday. This isn't fun anymore. I don't like this lifestyle, but I don't know how to get out of it. I'm stuck. This is who I am. Well, God was not done. I got taken to jail that night. I was already on probation. I was facing a 3-year prison term, and I lay down on the bench at the Dothan City Jail, and I said these words out loud to God. God, I don't know if you're real or not, or if you care or not, but I'm tired. And I want to be different, or I want to be dead, because I can't do this anymore. God didn't say anything to me, but he did answer me. My mom showed up to pick me up the very next morning, and I went to a lawyer, and he said, son, I'm not interested in lying for you, but if you won't help, I'll get you some help. I said, well, I won't help. And I didn't want to go to prison. That was a big thing. He said, I know of a program called Teen Challenge. If I can get you in, that's where I'll send you. And so that's what we did. I went in front of a judge. I literally saw 9 people in front of me ask for stays or other options as opposed to prison. And the judge said no to all 9 of them. I was the 10th, and I'm shaking in my boots. He said yes to me because God's grace was working in my life. I got sent to Teen Challenge, and I went with this idea, well, I'm going to get myself cleaned up. I don't want to be a preacher. I actually told somebody this. Not only do I want to be a preacher, I just want to get my life together. Well, God had other plans. I had been in Teen Challenge for a week. I went to a church service, and all I can tell you is I listened to this guy preach, and before I knew it, yes, they did an altar call there, and before I knew it, I went down to the altar saying, I too want what you're talking about, and that's the night that I got saved. And I tell you, there are very little words I can use to express other than that the burden, you know, the chains fell off, my heart was free. And I knew it, and I knew it then and there. My mom reminded me of something that I had told her. I'd gone to a youth camp when I was about 15 years old, and I came home and said, Mom, I think I'm going to be a preacher one day. She said, what? I said, I think God maybe want me to be a preacher one day. And I totally forgot it. When I was laying in my bed one night, I was praying. I had just been reading the book of 1 Timothy, and I felt God saying, yes, son, I want to use you in ministry. And I wrote a letter to my mom, and she wrote back and reminded me of the story. God has a sense of humor. I would have gone at it straight. God brought me around another way. I got out of Teen Challenge after a year, and I came home and decided I wanted to be in ministry. And First Presbyterian Church of Dothan took a chance on me. I tell people all the time, they hired me at a very young, tender Christian age. As a pastor, I would not hire me today. I would say, son, you need to go get some experience. You need to live out your Christian walk for a little while. But they didn't. They hired me. I don't know why, but God was working. And I met my wife not too long after I started there, and we got married not too long after we met, and started having kids not too long after that. But God has been so faithful in my life. As I began working, I had men say, hey, son, I think you need to consider seminary. I think the call of God is on your life. And I did. I enrolled at RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary. It took me forever to complete the degree because we were working. We had four kids, but we did. And God has continued to show his amazing grace to me. You know, I prayed that day in the jail, God, make me different or make me dead. And God didn't make it an or. He said, I'll give you both. I will make you different, and the person that you are now will be dead. And it has been. He has been. Hey, I'm not perfect. I took a winding road to get to where I am, and I am still a debtor to mercy. I still have times where I need to call out to the Lord for grace, but you know, by God's mercy, I'm not who I was. And this Easter Sunday, what a day to remember. If you are in Christ Jesus this morning, you're not who you were. You're not who you will be, but you're not who you were. And so I share my story with you as a form of encouragement. There are many more details I could share with you, but I'm going to leave it at that because some of them are not fit for mixed company. But I praise God for what he's done in my life, and my hope and prayer is that God is working in you this very moment. Thank you.